Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. On Wednesday, July the 22nd, our top story today is that footage has revealed the moment an off-duty police officer pulled a woman's head towards the ground by her hair at a nightclub in Canterbury. Well, Lucy joins me now with more on this story. Lucy, you've seen the footage. What does it show?
Well, PC Thomas O'Dell can be seen grabbing a fistful of his victim's hair while he was on a night out at Cuban in Canterbury. He then wrenches her head backwards twice, holding her down for about 6 seconds. Throughout the video, the 30-year-old appears to be smiling and chuckling. The woman then walks out of the club in shock. It happened in the garden decking area of the venue in February, just days after the officer had turned 30.
And what did prosecutors say in court?
Well, they told magistrates in Margate that the ordeal has left the victim too frightened to go into the city without her boyfriend. Lucy Fish went on to say how the woman went into complete shock, especially because her attacker was a police officer who'd shown her his badge. While she didn't suffer any injuries, her head still hurts the next day. Colleagues who were with O'Dell at the time have described him as being drunk, but one said he was stunned by what he saw.
And what sentence has been handed to O'Dell?
Well, O'Dell, who's from All Hallows Road in Lowestoke near Rochester, was charged with assault by beating. He initially denied the offence, but then changed his plea before going on trial. His defence said he'd drunk more than usual while celebrating his birthday and had no memory of the assault. The judge placed him on a 12-month community order and he must do 150 hours of unpaid work. He was also ordered to pay the victim £200 in compensation. He's since been sacked by Kent Police following a misconduct hearing.
Lucy, thank you ever so much, and you can see that video footage for yourself by heading to the story today at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A court heard former Maidstone MP Anne Widdecombe was hit with a hammer at her home in Devon. The 78-year-old was discovered at her property on Dartmoor almost 2 weeks ago after failing to turn up for a TV interview. A suspect has appeared in court charged with murder. He's due to enter a plea in November. A teenager's died in hospital 5 days after the motorbike he was riding came off a road near Tunbridge Wells and hit a tree. Emergency crews were called to Goudhurst Road in Horsman Den last Tuesday night. Crash investigators want to hear from anyone who saw the 18-year-old who was on a white Honda CB125. A man and teenage boy have been taken to hospital after being stabbed by a stranger in an alleyway in Gillingham. The victims were walking towards Woodlands Road when they were attacked by a man coming from the Vineries estate. It happened late on Monday night. An investigation is underway. Meantime, a man's been arrested following a stabbing in Walderslade. We're told it happened in Spenlow Drive on Monday night and the victims in a serious but stable condition in hospital. A 28-year-old from London Road in Westmorling was detained in the early hours of yesterday and remains in custody. Now, the Kent Online podcast has been told as many as 150 children in Swale could be without a secondary school place by September next year. Kent's Assistant Director of Education has made the admission at a meeting of councillors and residents on Sheppey. It comes after more than 50 families on the island were told last year their children would have to travel more than 20 miles to Faversham. Leanne Moore's daughter has missed the whole of Year 7 and she's been speaking to Lucy.
It first probably became a major issue last March on National Offer Day when there was approximately 60 families or 60 children that from the islands that were offered spaces in mainly Faversham, but some got Canterbury, I think even Maidstone. Due to the takeover of the splitting of the schools and the reduced pan. So some of that was sorted due to a bold class being added at one of the academies, and the other class wouldn't, the other academy wouldn't or couldn't add an extra class. So meant there was still 30 or so children with no spaces, having to go to mainly Faversham. The parents all met up and we had quite a few meetings with, we had meetings with the MP, we had a meeting with the new cabinet member for education after the elections in May. at KCC and KCC councillors, and we had quite a few meetings discussing the problems of the children getting to Faversham, especially from the eastern end of the island where the transport is. It was looking at they'd have to leave to get public transport at 5:30 in the morning to get two or three buses over to Faversham, and then obviously do the same, but also the safeguarding around the fact of having 11-year-old children, going out at 5:30 to start school at 8:30. And the problems it was causing, and the fact that they was getting the children, the families weren't getting any help. They weren't offered any real situation. We spoke to bus companies ourselves, minibuses, and there was just no funding for it. They weren't going to fund these children getting to school. So, some parents decided to do what they could to get their children to the schools, and I know there are families sort of taking their children to and from Faversham to get their children to school. Some families couldn't. Some families, the people who had to give up work to homeschool their children. I mean, I know my daughter, because obviously my daughter was one of the ones affected. She is still out of school. Because due to our situation, I have two other children and cannot get her to Faversham. There is no way to get her to Faversham. I have to be within 20 minutes of my son, who's got special needs, who goes to school on the island. And, I can't leave him to go all the way to Faversham to get her to school. And I also have a younger child at primary school still who I need to get to primary school as well. And I'm not letting her travel on a bus, basically, all that way. So to this day, we are still fighting for places for at least 10 children I know of at the eastern end of the island that are still waiting on spaces. So I've missed a whole year of education.
It's so shocking, isn't it? And I mean, going back to your daughter and her experience, I mean, what's it been like for her missing out on a whole year of school?
It's awful. She's become, very clingy. We can't go out without her. She's become attached to us. She doesn't see her friends. We're having to sort of try and arrange things around so she still gets a social life and gets to interact with children her own age, because being dragged around to meetings and say me, I'm at in and out picking up the other two children all day. I look after my mum's, and she has lots of hospital appointments, so like I'm a full-time carer for my mum, as well as count like doing council business, and I like to volunteer for other bits and pieces. She's dragged around in and out the house all day, having to deal with adults and seeing things sometimes as well, like having to attend appointments where normally you wouldn't. They wouldn't hear the things that go on in some of these appointments. So mentally it's affecting them, because they're having to, and there's no way some families, just like for me, there isn't any way anyone else to have her. My husband's at work. I haven't got any other people that can just look after her. And it's the whole what she's missing education-wise. What are we doing for her future? I do what I can with her, but I'm not a qualified teacher. I don't know all what they need to know for year seven. And she's never going to then, like speaking for my daughter, because obviously she's never going to get that year back. She's got to play catch up now when she eventually does get into a school.
There are now calls for an urgent meeting between KCC, local MPs, Swale Council and Academy Trusts to try and find a solution.
Kent Online reports.
A lorry driver's been treated by paramedics after his vehicle overturned near Gravesend. It happened on the A226 near Higham in the early hours of this morning. The road was partially blocked for several hours for recovery work. AMPR cameras and anti-terror bollards could be installed in Dartford in a bid to stop vehicles from driving in pedestrianised areas. There have been complaints about cars venturing into the High Street, Lowfield Street and Marketplace. Council bosses are due to meet this week to discuss the idea, which could cost hundreds of thousands of pounds. Now, if you head to Kent Online today, you can read a special report from our reporter Ellie Hodgson, who spent a night with police to see how they tackle antisocial behaviour in Maidstone. She headed out with officers during the England-Norway game during the World Cup, and Ellie's been sharing her thoughts on what she saw.
What I saw shocked me. It wasn't just violence that I needed to be concerned about. It was predatory behaviour and vulnerable girls. It all started with a desperate phone call from a resident that had been living in and around Maidstone for years. In that short period of time, he'd witnessed a string of violent assaults, and he told me he feared somebody would be killed. We spent the night there to try and find out for ourselves whether it is a violence hotspot. What I did see is men appearing out of nowhere, combing the streets after 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, seemingly looking for vulnerable victims. They weren't looking to join the queue for the nightclub or bars. They were going up and down the street. And it didn't take me long to realise what they were looking for. In the space of a few hours, I saw 3 women that were completely blackout drunk. One of them didn't have a phone that worked and she was slumped to the ground. Going undercover takes a lot of time, patience and a commitment to getting to the bottom of a story. It's not about sitting in an office, scrolling through social media or waiting for the phone to ring. This is the kind of hard-hitting, impactful journalism that our subscribers can benefit from. For me, it's extremely important to seek the truth and shine a light on the issues plaguing our community.
Kent Online reports.
Work has restarted on a major development in Ashford 10 months after the original contractors went into administration. A new team has been appointed to finish building 254 flats on Victoria Road near the town centre. It's hoped they'll be completed next year. Plans put forward by a reality TV star to build a 200-space car park for her Kent castle have been turned down. Dr Anne Kaplan-Mulholland had hoped to gravel over a field beside Lym Village Hall to support weddings and other events at her property. The local council rejected the proposal, but castle bosses say restoration work to create a first-class venue will continue. Major roadworks are due to get underway on the A2 to improve a busy junction in Rainham. Bosses reckon it'll take about 10 weeks to complete the project where the High Street meets Mears Court Road. It's designed to make it easier for vehicles heading coastbound to turn right. A new Greggs could be built near a petrol station near Whitstable. If approved, it would be behind the Shell garage in Chesfield near the Thanet Way. The bakery chain opened a store in the town's High Street earlier this year. And you can head to Kent Online today to read about the BAFTA-nominated model maker who's designed sets for films and TV shows. Mike Perry moved to Folkestone from Maidstone 9 years ago and, despite retiring, says he'll continue to produce work of his own.
Kent Online Sports.
Football first up, and Gillingham have beaten Millwall in a pre-season friendly. They secured a 1-0 victory at Priestfield thanks to a goal from new striker Will Goodwin. Jules boss Gareth Ainsworth spoke to us after the match.
Reasons to be positive, definitely. And we enjoyed that. You know, it looked like the work we've done out of possession. We knew that the two games that we planned, Charlton and Millwall, would be out of possession. We'd be without the ball, so that was an ideal time to work without the ball in the couple of weeks building up to that. And the boys have got together and nailed some of the structures that I wanted, you know, which is great. But it's pre-season, you know, so the results don't mean anything. It's nice, it's a positive feeling. And yeah, great for Will Goodwin to score as well, you know, and home game. And some really, really positive signs from a lot of people. I thought the work rate from all the boys, you know, the ones who start the game, the ones who finish the game, was really good. It's something I'm asking for this season. I think we need to work really hard to be successful, and I'll make sure that happens. You know, they won't play if they don't work hard and run. But yeah, pleased with the result. But you know, one of the games where I can just put the results to the side and go, pleased with the performance. Some real good individual moments and stuff to work on it as always. You know, but yeah. All in all, good night. I'm hoping that the players learned about each other and learned that when they all run and we all work so hard like they did tonight, they're going to get results. I know what I've signed. I know what I've got in the building. And it's nice when it comes together. It is. But this is a pre-season friendly. This Millwall probably were 70%, you know, and you've got to respect that team who nearly got to the Premier League last year. We will face some tough teams in League Two. We'll be with the ball, we'll be without the ball. Set pieces we haven't really touched on yet. We need to get them going, which we will in the next couple of weeks. And then, as I said, the Luton game's brilliant for me. I love that cup game, being in that position, because I think we can make use of that with it's not a trial run. I want to win the game, like I've said, but it's almost like, right, any mistakes can be ironed out for that first league game.
More than 3,600 fans were there to watch, with around half of them from Millwall. Defender Logan Dobbs has also been chatting to our sports reporter, Luke Cordell.
That's two tough games you've had, isn't it, John? Millwall, now you conceded one goal on a set piece, so you must be quite pleased with it.
Yeah, very happy, yeah. Obviously, try and keep it clean sheet every game if we can. But mostly, I feel like we've proved ourselves in these two games, especially at higher levels. So hopefully, when it comes to the season, we can show what we can do.
And you talk about the senior players talking to you after training. Is that like literally every session, or is that just occasionally?
Every day, no matter what, outside of football, even if we're sitting having lunch, just little tips to come over, look at clips, just little things that we can do to improve. Or even I'll go to them. Or it might not be defenders, it might be like Gaffer or Dobbo coming over. Just little things, just trying to improve inside and outside the building, just to make everything better.
With that experience around you, you must feel like you're improving every day you're in it.
Oh yeah, 100%, especially trying to be more as a leader. But yeah, when everyone's raising the standards, you're automatically raising yourself.
Liam seems to be a bit of a leader back there. What's he sort of brought to the squad, do you think?
He's brought a lot of talking. I've never really played with someone who doesn't shut up, to be honest. But yeah, he brings a lot of leadership, and on the ball, he's a real good footballer.
That's sort of something that the squad may sort of crying out for, a bit of leadership out there, maybe.
Yeah, all the new signings, they've brought a lot. They've improved the squad a lot. Especially Will's first goal today. I thought he looked really sharp. But yeah, they all bring little parts of the game.
Staying with football, and former Gillingham player Andrew Crofts has left his coaching role at Brighton to join Roberto De Zerbi's backroom staff at Tottenham. He previously worked with the boss during his time at the Emirates Stadium. On to cricket, and former Kent head coach Matt Walker is going to be taking over at Sussex. He's currently batting coach at Warwickshire, but will join ahead of the 2027 season. The 52-year-old will replace Paul Farbrace, who's becoming director of cricket. On to tennis, and Kent's Emma Raducanu has been given a spot in the main draw for the US Open. Arthur Ferry will also feature for the first time in his career after getting to the Wimbledon semi-finals as a wild card. And finally, a Kent Paralympian is heading to Australia to take part in a wheelchair challenge for charity. John Boy Smith will take part in the Sydney Marathon at the end of August for We Are Beams, which supports disabled children and their families. The race will cross the famous Harbour Bridge and pass the Opera House. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.